Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Today we're continuing our series, Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. We've opened up the book of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets to Israel, in the time preceding the invasion by Babylon, where they took many captive, even Daniel and his fellows, and Israel was made a province of the nation of Babylon. And of course, we know the end, and Israel rebelled and did not submit to the king of Babylon as they were warned by the prophet Jeremiah. And so ensued the destruction of the city, the temple, the nation, and a 70 years period of desolation against Israel. Today, I live in America. And as it is in America, you know, one of the provinces of the Roman Empire that rules the world, we see that men in the past, they concealed their iniquity. But today we have set over us in America. We have a procurator set over us by the mystery Babylon that rules the world today. They set over us one Barry Obama, Barack Obama, whatever his name may be, even that is in dispute, and he doesn't conceal his iniquity. He turns his iniquity into virtue. And because now iniquity is virtue, he wants to teach it to your children. So he wants little girls to share the bathrooms with old perverts. And he wants to teach them to be perverted. As I said, turning iniquity into virtue. So the righteous who speak against it, well, they are condemned. They lose their businesses in injustice, which is overthrown because iniquity is now virtue. Those who stand up against it are punished. You see the same things going on today as we see then. We're going to jump now into chapter 3 of Habakkuk. So let's go in there and pick it up. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Yahuwah, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. Once again, I'm going to turn to our good friend Matthew Henry to open up this chapter for us. This is the chapter entitled, A Prayer of Habakkuk. It is a meditation with himself, an intercession for the church. Prophets were praying men. This prophet was so. He is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. And sometimes they prayed for even those whom they prophesied against, those that were intimately acquainted with the mind of God concerning future events, knew better than others how to order their prayers and for what to pray for, and in the foresight of troublous times could lay up a stock of prayers that might then receive a gracious answer, and so be serving the church by their prayers when their prophesying was over. This prophet had found God ready to answer his requests and complaints before, and therefore now repeats his applications to him. Because God has inclined his ear to hear us, we must resolve that therefore we will call upon him as long as we live. The prophet owns the receipt of God's answer to his former representation, and the impression it made upon him. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, thy hearing, which thou wouldst have us hear, the decree that has gone forth for the afflicting of thy people. I receive thine, and it is before me. Note, those that would rightly order their speech to God must carefully observe and lay before them his speech to them. He had said, I will watch to see what he will say. And now he owns it. And now he owns, Lord, I have heard thy speech. For if we turn a deaf ear to God's word, we can expect no other than that he should turn a deaf ear to our prayers. I heard it and was afraid. Messages immediately from heaven commonly struck even the best and boldest men into a consternation. Moses, Isaiah, and Daniel did exceedingly fear and quake. But besides that, the matter of this message made the prophet afraid. When he heard how low the people of God should be brought under the oppression, the oppressing power of the Chaldeans, and how long they should continue under it, he was afraid lest their spirits should quite fail, and lest the church should be utterly rooted out and run down, and being kept low so long should be lost at length. He earnestly prays that for the elect's sake these days of trouble might be shortened, or the trouble of these days mitigated or moderated, or the people of God supported and comforted under it. He thinks it very long to wait till the end of years. Perhaps he refers to the 70 years fixed, or the continuance of the captivity, and therefore, Lord, he says, do something on our behalf in the midst of the years, those years of our distress. Though we be not delivered, and our oppressors destroyed, yet let us not be abandoned and cast off. Do something for thine own cause. Revive thy work, thy church. That is the work of God's own hand, formed by him, formed for him. Revive that, even when it walks in the midst of trouble. Grant thy people a little reviving in their bondage. Preserve alive thy work. So some read it. Though thy church be chastened, let it not be killed. Though it have not its liberty, yet continue its life. Save a remnant alive, to be seed of another generation. Revive the work of grace in us by sanctifying the trouble to us and supporting us under it, though the time be not yet come, even the set time for our deliverance out of it. Whatever becomes of us, though we be as dead and dry bones, Lord, let thy work be revived. Let not that sink and go back and come to nothing. Do something for thine own honor in the midst of the years. Make known, make thyself known, for now verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. Make known thy power, thy pity, thy promise, thy providence in the government of the world, for the safety and welfare of thy church, thy people. Though we be buried in obscurity, yet, Lord, make thyself known. Whatever becomes of Israel, let not the God of Israel be forgotten in the world, but discover himself even in the midst of the dark years, before thou art expected to appear, when in the midst of the years of the captivity God miraculously owned the three children in the fiery furnace and humbled Nebuchadnezzar, his prayer was answered. In the midst of thy years, make known, do something for thy people's comfort. In wrath, remember mercy and make that known. Show us thy mercy, O Yahuwah. They see God's displeasure against them in their trouble, and that makes them grievous indeed. There is wrath in the bitter cup that therefore they deprecate and are earnest in begging that he is a merciful God, and they are vessels of his mercy. Note, even those that are under the tokens of God's wrath must not despair of his mercy. And mercy, mere mercy, is that which we must flee to for refuge and rely upon as our only plea. He does not say, remember our merit, but Lord, remember thine own mercy. Habakkuk 3:3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and beheld, and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. Once again, as we have plenty of time today, I will again turn to our good friend Matthew Henry to comment on these few verses here. It has been the usual practice of God's people, when they have been in distress and ready to fall into despair, to help themselves by recollecting their experiences and reviving them, considering the days of old and the years of ancient times, and pleading with God in prayer, as he is pleased sometimes to plead them with himself. Then he remembered the days of old. This is that which the prophet does here, and he looks as far back as the first forming of them into a people, when they were brought by miracles out of Egypt, a house of bondage, through the wilderness, a land of drought, into Canaan, then possessed by mighty nations. He that thus brought them at first to Canaan, through so much difficulty, can now bring them thither again out of Babylon, how great soever the difficulties are that lie in the way. Those works of wonder wrought of old are here most magnificently described for the greater encouragement to the faith of God's people in their present straits. 1. God appeared in his glory, so as he never did before or since. He came from Teman, even the Holy One from Mount Paran. This refers to the visible display of the glory of God when he gave the law upon Mount Sinai, as appears by Deuteronomy 33:2, whence these expressions are borrowed. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai in a cloud, and his glory was as the devouring fire, not only to enforce the law he then gave them, but to avow the deliverance he had wrought for them, and to magnify it. For the first word he said was, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I that appear in this glory am the author of that work. When his glory covered the heavens, which shone with the reflection of that glorious appearance of his, the earth was also full of his praise, or of his splendor, as some read it. People at a distance saw the cloud and fire on the top of Mount Sinai and praised the God of Israel. Or the earth was full of those works of God which were to be praised. His brightness was as the light of the sun when he goeth forth in his strength. He had horns, or bright beams, so it should be rendered, coming out of his hand or side. Rays of glory were darted forth around him. And with some rays borrowed thence, it was that Moses' face shone when he came down from that mount of glory, some by the horns, or the two horns, for the word is dual, coming out of his hand, understand the two tables of the law, which perhaps when God delivered them to Moses, though they were tables of stone, had a glory round them. Those books were gilt with beams, and so it agrees, from his right hand went a fiery law for them. It is added, and there was a hiding of his power. There was a hidden power in the rays that came out of his hand. The operations of his power compared with what he could have done were rather the hiding of it than the discovery of it. The secrets of his power, as well as of his wisdom, are double to that which is. God sent plagues on Egypt for the humbling of proud Pharaoh and the obliging of him to let the people go. Before him went the pestilence, which slew all the firstborn of Egypt in one night, and burning coals went forth at his feet. In the plague of hail, there was fire mingled with hail, burning diseases, so the margin reads it. Some think those that wasted Egypt, others those with which the number of the Canaanites was diminished before Israel was brought upon them. These were at his feet, that is, at his coming, for they are at his command. He says to them, go, and they go, come, and they come, do this, and they do it. He divided the land of Canaan to his people Israel, and expelled the heathen from before them. He stood and measured the earth, measured that land to assign it for an inheritance to his people. He beheld and drove asunder the nations that were in possession of it. Though they combined together against Israel, God dispersed and discomfited them before Israel, or he exerted such a mighty power as was enough to shake in pieces all the nations of the earth. Then the everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow. The mighty princes and potentates of Canaan, that seemed as high, as strong, and as firmly fixed as the mountains and hills, were broken to pieces. They and their kingdoms were totally subdued, or the power of God was so exerted as to shake the mountains and hill. Nay, and Sion did tremble, and the adjacent hills. To this he adds, his ways are everlasting, that this, all the motions of his providence are according to his eternal counsels, and he is the same forever, that which he was yesterday and today. His covenant is unchangeable, and his mercy endures forever. when he drove asunder the nations of Canaan, one might have seen the tents of or Cushan in affliction, the curtains of the land of Midian trembling, and all the inhabitants of the neighboring countries taking the alarm. And though they were not in the commission to give to Israel to destroy, nor the land with the warrant given to Israel to possess, yet they thought their own house in danger when their neighbor's house was on fire, and therefore they were in great fright. Balak, the king of Moab, was so. Some make their tents of Cushan to be in affliction when, in the days of Judge Othniel, God delivered Cushan Rishathaim into his hand, and the curtains of the land of Midian to tremble when, in the days of Judge Gideon, a barley cake, in a dream, overthrew the tent of Midian. And we could go on with our good friend Matthew Henry, but we're about to go into a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We are going through the prophet Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, and continuing our series, Minor Prophets for Interesting Times, and trying to relate to what these prophets had to say to Israel, to the times that we live in today, so we can apply whatever it is that God would answer us as we look around and see the demise of our Israel around us. Okay, well, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.